Hi, and welcome to God Undiluted. Here we speak all things the Word of God, unedited, uncut, for this our generation as we are led by the Holy Spirit. So friends, I'm just really excited to get into it today. So without further ado, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for yet another opportunity to come here and share what I've been learning with your children. It is my prayer that even as I share, oh God, that you teach me, you share more revelation, you share more understanding, so that, Lord, this becomes a community where we grow. We grow in you, through you, by you alone. So it is my prayer that I decrease, and may you alone, Jesus, be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Friends, I hope you've had a good 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks because I had a cold, and this cold took a good 2 weeks to start to dissipate. So I genuinely couldn't speak last week. However, we are here, and I thank God for his healing. So today I want to share a little bit of a testimony, because the message is through that testimony. So many of you would know that I am planning a prayer, praise, and high tea event in London. It's on the 9th of December, so two weeks really from today. But the journey of planning it, listen, I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot about just God's love, God's faithfulness, God's truthfulness, God's trustworthiness, and God's resourcefulness, okay? And, you know, I remember when I put out a little video just sharing the vision behind it, I was saying, you know, the old me, listen, I would never have risked putting an event, because what if nobody came? What if nobody showed up, right? But this time what was different was I just felt in my heart that I needed to walk in this direction. I needed to say yes, God, and hand it over right back to God. And over the last few days, you know, we're nearly sold out, only 5 spaces left. But over the last few days, I went to London and I met up with 2 amazing women of God. And, you know, I just thank God that even on this journey, he has brought destiny helpers, he has brought friends. And that is what God does. And, you know, I'm reminded of the image of driving. This whole journey with planning this event has been like driving in the dark, where for you to see the next bit, you need, the car needs to be moving, all right? You cannot see from here right up to maybe 5 meters if you are not actually driving. You see as you drive. And that's what it's like to walk in obedience with God, my friends, where, you know, he will never reveal the full picture. If you think about what he did with Abraham before he was Abraham, when he was still Abraham, he did the same thing. He's like, you know what? Go with me to a land where I will show you, right? God didn't tell him that, you know, listen, it's a long journey, it will take years, it will take so much. But you know what? He believed and he held on to that promise. And it's sad, isn't it? Because even his father was given that same word, but he settled in a place called Haran. He didn't make it to the end of the promised land, because life and the journey is hard, my friends. It will be so easy to settle. I've seen it even as I was planning this event, that there'll be many moments where you think, okay, fine. You know, when things were a little bit slower at the beginning with people buying their tickets, you're like, okay, maybe we'll settle on like 20 people. That's great. But God was saying, I told you that it will be sold out. We agreed on 50 people. So shall it be, right? So it's so easy to get to moments of Haran in our walk with God, my friends, in our obedience, where it's almost like we're saying, God, this will do. You know, as the challenges start to mount up, as the financial commitments mount up, it's so easy to be like, God, you know, I mean, Haran doesn't sound like a bad deal after all. So our lives, my friends, our experiences and our journeys with God in and of themselves, when you read this book, when you read the Bible, when you look at these characters, God is so loving in that he showed us. He showed us people that have gone before us, you know, who trusted him. And we see that God is trustworthy. It is good to put your eggs in God's basket. Not one egg, but all of the eggs. Anyway, the most important lesson I want to share with you from this journey, my friends, was this. And it happened, I was on a train all the way to London, you know, because I'm not a London girl, I'm a Midlands girl. So I was on the train and I was reading a book by David Wilkerson about overcoming sin. And, you know, what really struck me and really blessed me, and then one of the amazing ladies that I met, who almost like, without even knowing what I was learning, almost like confirmed God's word to me. You know, the word was this, and I wrote it down. So I'm gonna read it. It was this. It was, it's all about Jesus. It's really all about Jesus. Basically, it's by Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus, and for Jesus. basically Jesus. I wrote this on my book, right? As I was on this journey after reading a couple of, chapters in the David Wilkerson book. And I want to share with you what I mean by that, because it's a very important lesson that flows from last time's broadcast, which I did, about why it is so difficult to obey. You know, it was like God was teaching me that, yes, it's good that you walked in disobedience, Christina, but let me tell you something. And let me tell you the full story so that it makes sense. Please bear with me. This is a very important message, so please stick around. Like, I'm thinking with you, but this is a very important bit, right? We'll get into the message. I just want to give you the context. You know, it's one thing when you are in the bit where you are trusting God for the things to start to move and you're like, okay, you nearly settled in Haran. You didn't settle in Haran. Now you're moving. You're like, oh my gosh, God, I'm seeing your faithfulness. You're bringing people to help me. You're bringing Destiny Helpers, you know, the caterer, God, you did that. Oh my gosh, like someone to help me with like setting the place up. Wow, what? God, you're doing that. People coming through, the tickets starting to sell. Like, oh my gosh, like we're really going to sell all of these tickets. And then, you know, what started to be easily like a feeling I was now experiencing was almost like an anxiety of, oh my gosh, what if this goes wrong? What if that person doesn't deliver? And it was that that God was now ministering to me to say, Christine, I want you to notice something. This thing happening, this thing selling out or people coming is not because of you. Do you understand? It is not because you've been obedient. It is not because you've been praying. It is not because you are good. It is because of Jesus. And when you lean on him, when you lean into Jesus, things start to move purely because of Jesus, not you. So once you start to allow anxiety to settle in, you are now taking it from Jesus's manual control room into your control room. So when you're now noticing people who are wanting to help and you feel anxious, like you owe them, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so indebted to these people. What you're now doing is you're acting like they're doing it for you. And when you're acting like if they're doing it for you, then you're at risk of thinking it's moving because of you. I hope this makes sense to you, my friends, because it really blessed me. It blessed me because once that set in and I shared it with one of the ladies that I met with and we prayed over it, listen, the rest and the relaxation that I started to feel in that moment, I couldn't even describe it. It was as if heaven was giving me peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's take it to the scripture. Let's get my glasses on. Right. So let's go first to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Wait, let's move this out of the way a little bit. Right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm eyeing my other Bible, but it's that size. And that Bible has got four different versions in one. I'm tempted to try and grab it because I think it's really powerful to read it from all four versions. Give me 1 minute. There it is. Okay, we've got it. So I have the New Living Translation, the NIV, the New King James Version, and the Message in one Bible. That's why I like this study Bible when I want to show something really profound. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 2, "For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." That is the New Living Translation. Let me take you to the Message. The Message says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified." Ooh. I was unsure of how to go about this, and I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. If you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. Let me read that nicely. I was unsure of how I would go about it and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. And if you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. So basically he's saying, if you want the truth of it, I was scared out of my wits. I was scared, all right? And nothing I said could have been amazing. You know, that's the truth of it. But the reality of the matter is, but the message came through anyway. It was God's spirit and God's power that did it. It is that which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Ah, okay. So it was worth trying to get this Bible, which I had left hidden under the cover there. All right. What am I trying to say, my friends? It is all about Jesus. Yes, it's good. It's great to think about how we as children of God live a life of sacrifice, live a life of, you know, dying to sin, right? Dying to the flesh so that we become alive in Christ. Yes, we have a part to play. The Bible says, put off the former things. So yes, there are things that we do, my friends. There are things that are us doing because we love God. However, what God was teaching me in this moment is that a lot of us Christians, a lot of leaders get to a point where, you know what? It reaches a point where they forget that it is all through Jesus. We like the idea, and many of us never forget that it's all for Jesus. You understand? It's all for Jesus. But many of us forget that it was also through Jesus. Jesus is not a master or a teacher that gives you an exam and wants you to do your footwork, your performance, right? And then comes and marks you. Yet many of us, my friends, have ended up in a space where in our quest for wanting to walk in obedience or do the right thing or please God, we've missed the fact that it's not like that in the kingdom of God. Because listen, the truth of God is foolishness to our world. So the truth of God cannot make sense when you look at it logically. How can God, who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not expect us to perform? In our society, you know, your reward comes from your performance. Your reward comes from passing the test, but that is not in the kingdom of God. That's not how it works. Yet the Bible speaks of a reward. So what does this even mean? Right? The Lord rewards those who diligently seek him. Yet the same Lord is saying, it's not about you, it's through Jesus. Make it make sense. Right? And that's what I want to do through this. I learned that, you know, the most amazing thing is this. When you think about the order of events and everything that happened, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who is the unblemished sacrifice, the only worthy sacrifice, meaning that before people could not just approach God, right? His holiness would blind us. His holiness would kill us. His glory, no one could be able, even the most amazing servant of God, you know, who would say, but God, just show me a little bit of yourself. God even had to say to him that, listen, you will just be able to see my back. You cannot see all of me. Yet that, imagine that, my friends. That's what the Bible says, right? It's Moses, right? It's Moses. I've not opened that scripture, but it's Moses, right? If I'm wrong, if it's Abraham, I think it's Moses. It's definitely Moses. It's like, God, show me yourself, right? And God says, you'll see my back. And yet he was a man who was wanting to do things God's way. What is that telling us? It is not through our obedience that things happen, my friends. Our obedience is because we love God. The reward comes because of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. In giving Jesus, we got everything that Jesus had because the Father gave his son Jesus the inheritance. And because of the blood of Jesus, we are drenched in his blood. We are clothed in Jesus. So when we approach God, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see Christina's works. He doesn't see Christina's fasting. He doesn't see Christina's praying. He sees Jesus. So when now I'm learning through doing this task, I had to be reminded that no Kiki, no Christina, sorry, Kiki is my family, you know, my pet name, you know, no Christina, things are moving because of Jesus. So don't ever try to put yourself in a position where you start to think, how am I going to repay all these people that are helping me? That is the wrong mindset. They're not helping because of you. Jesus is doing it. So let Jesus be responsible for his own people, his own assignment, his own reward system. So I want to really explain this, my friends. God doesn't respond to me because of me. God doesn't respond to our prayers because of me. That's what the Pharisees were doing, my friends, where they were doing the religious things. They were doing it right. They were obeying the Sabbath. They were doing all the rituals. But God had long checked out. Jesus was needed. Why? Because you can perform. You can do all the outward performance. You can do all the praying. You can do all the fasting. But that's easy to become so self-righteousness and think it is my fasting that brought things to happen. No, it isn't, my friends. It is Jesus. God pays attention to Jesus. That's why the Bible says those that are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation, because you are in him. You are clothed in Jesus. So now God is answering my prayer requests. God is honoring my fasting. God is honoring all these things because I'm clothed in Jesus. That is the promise of the new covenant, my friends. So someone might be thinking, like I was thinking in the week, so are my actions irrelevant then? So I might as well sin, I might as well do whatever I want because it's all in Jesus. No, because if you are in Jesus, you will desire to do the will of the Father. So I fast because I'm in Jesus. I pray because I'm in Jesus. And Jesus fasted. Jesus prayed, right? I mean, I'm doing these things because I'm in Jesus. And God is answering my prayer. God is honoring my fast because I'm in Jesus. So it becomes easy, my friends, to glorify Jesus, to give the glory right back to Jesus, because you know that it happened because of Jesus anyway. Let me tell you about a story of two sisters, right? Mary and Martha. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go to it. It's in the book of, I've had to write it down. Because when I start speaking, honestly, sometimes the Holy Spirit just changes the order. But glory to God, because that's what we want. We want to learn, right? So the story of the two sisters is in the book of Luke. Let's go right to it. Mary and Martha, yeah? So in the book of Luke. Okay. I think it's Luke chapter 10. Yeah, so Luke chapter 10, we are in verse 38. Yeah, so let's go for it. Holy Spirit, teach us, please. Right, I'm going to read. The Bible says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Friends, what was different about Mary and Martha? I want to share with you something. It doesn't mean that there was anything wrong with the service that Martha was providing. Martha had opened up her home to Jesus. Martha wanted Jesus to have the bestest of time. Right? She wanted Jesus to come and eat good food. And on the surface, you would think, oh, that's really ministering to Jesus. You know, I'm serving Jesus. You know, my desire is that everything I do is about making sure that I'm serving him. I'm doing it for Jesus. And it's true. She was doing it. She was doing it for Jesus. She was wanting to bring out the best china. If you are, you know, African Zimbabwean like me, you'd know that in our grandparents' houses, there were dishes, there was china, there was, you know, porcelain type cups and things that you wouldn't be able to drink from. They were for the visitors in the display. All right. So Martha was bringing out the best china for Jesus. Do you think that Jesus didn't want to eat? He was in the flesh, remember? Do you think that Jesus was saying to Martha, don't worry, we don't need to eat, just sit at my feet and listen to me? I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying service is good, but listen, when you serve without me, what's going to happen is when we are now enjoying the food, when we are now eating your food and enjoying your hospitality, you're going to say, I did it. I served Jesus. I ministered to Jesus. I. And where do you think the glory is going to come to? The glory is going to come to you. But when you know that you are in Jesus, listen, imagine what would have been different here. If Mary and Martha were cooking, doing things, Jesus was there, cutting the vegetables, helping them. They were doing it with Jesus. They were doing it in Jesus. I'm sure it would have been a very different thing. But Martha had resolved in her heart that she is going to use her strength, her cooking skills, her hosting skills to host Jesus. So for me, when I was reading it this morning, I was like, wow, Holy Spirit, share with me. Show me. What are you trying to teach me? And it was me learning that we serve an amazing master who says, you have 10 minutes to do your exam. This is your exam. And guess what he does? He gives you your helper, your teacher right next to you to teach you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our comforter. He's our teacher who comes alongside us to perform the work. So that when I get that 10 out of 10 in that exam, I don't give glory to myself. I say, hey, me, small girl me, there's no chance I would have done it. Next to me, did you not see the man who was set next to me? Did you not see the comforter who was next to me? Did you not see the deliverer who was next to me? He did it. Jesus goes, gets the victory, and yet he calls it my victory. Lest I forget, though, that it is his victory. Let me tell you another story. Let me take you to the scripture again. Go to the book of Acts. All right? So you will see, right, in Acts, bear with me, guys, the order in which, like, I'm led to share these scriptures with you is not the order I'd written them. So if you see me having to look, it is purely because of that. Let me take you to the book of Acts. Yeah. So in the book of Acts, in chapter 12, yeah, you will read a story of a king called Herod. Let me read it out to you. It says, then Herod went to Judea, went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Verse 20. He had been quarreling with some people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod was wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne, and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued to spread and flourish. My friends, imagine if where we're living in these times, how many of us who've led on something, myself included, who would have been struck down and died, because even though we might not have necessarily called ourselves or allowed people to call us a god, but we've claimed credit, we've claimed glory that is due to Jesus. We've acted like we did it in our own strength. We've acted like we pulled it off because we are eloquent. We acted like we pulled it off because we are clever. We acted like we pulled it off because it is us. Yet we know deep down, yet we know that it was only ever through Jesus. Many people have now believed their own hype, their own Kool-Aid, that they can promise people that when I show up, there'll be healing. Not because they're a servant of God who goes in the closet and says, I know there'll be healing because Jesus is with me, because I'm in Jesus. But because they think I, the man of God, I, the woman of God, have showed up. So things happen because I'm in the room. How many people, my friends? May God forgive us. May God help us to get to a stage where we understand that my fasting, my praying, my obedience is not what did it. Like Martha, yes, it's good to serve. Yes, it's good to obey. Yes, it's good to fast. Yes, it's good to pray. But that's not where the power is. The power is in who I'm in. Who am I in? Because even if the message does not have power, even if the message is me being shaking and quivering, my friends, even if the event is me who doesn't know anything about London, who doesn't even know any, I don't even have 50 people to put in a room. We can't even say they're my friends. People that I don't know, putting their own money into an event. Wow, my friends, you know? Yes, those things are good. Yes, that service is good, but it is not me. It is through Jesus. So that's what God was sharing and teaching me this last week. And you know, the beauty of it is this. any anxiety I had about, oh my gosh, what if on the day the delivery people are late? What if on the day, you know, this doesn't move according to the plan? I'm so rested now because knowing it's in Jesus, knowing that I'm in Jesus and the whole thing is because of Jesus, for it to even be happening, it is through Jesus. Listen, I've surrendered to Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, you do your thing. Right? Like Mary, I'm sitting at your feet, but I'm also grateful that like Martha, I can serve with you, Jesus. So Lord Jesus, I'm worried about delivery driver. Lord Jesus, go with me. Lord Jesus, I'm worried about timekeeping. Holy Spirit, thank you. Lord Jesus, you do it. I'm giving everything back to Jesus. I have a worry. Lord Jesus, what do you have to say about it? Lord Jesus, make a way. And I can't even begin to describe the peace I'm experiencing. I know it's going to be amazing, not because I've planned well, not because I'm an organizer, but because of Jesus. That's why the event is going to go well. That's how the event is going to go well, because it's Jesus. So I'm so thankful, my friends. Yes, we're praying for this event. Yes, we are fasting, but I'm not fasting thinking my fasting is going to do it. No, Jesus. So if you're in Jesus, my friends, it's not always about us saying, oh my gosh, you know, nothing is going to happen until I fast. No, if you're in Jesus, things will always move because it is through Jesus. When you bring Jesus, when you allow Jesus to take center stage, even whatever is going on in your life, any habit, any sinful area, my friends, I'm still learning this because God's grace is so mind-blowing, so mind-blowing, so mind-blowing. Yes, many people have taken advantage of it and we have a lot of hyper-grace situations which makes people feel like they don't have any changes to make. It's just like, oh, you know, it's fine, do whatever, Jesus is... No, that's not what I'm talking about here, my friends. Obedience is still a requirement. You know, sanctification is still a process that God takes people through, because when you are in Jesus, you want to be like him. When you are in Jesus, you can't help. When Jesus is living in you, ha, this Jesus is amazing. You are in him. You step into Jesus. So the Father sees you through Jesus. He doesn't see you through your works, but through Jesus. Yet because you are in Jesus and Jesus lives in the inside of you, you want to be like him. You want to be like Jesus. So your attitude starts to change. Your lifestyle starts to change. You want to pray more. You want to fast because you want to be more and more and more acquainted with Jesus. Does that make sense? So I'm learning, and I pray that, Lord, as I'm learning this, I'll be able to come back and share with you even more of how, my friends, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. There's a habit in your life that you're struggling with, a sinful lifestyle that you're struggling with. Allow yourself to be in Jesus. You don't have the power over sin. The Bible never tells us that a human being has power over sin. Do you know that? You, me, we don't have power over sin, my friends. Zilch. But guess who's got power over sin? Jesus. So when you receive him, when you are in him, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're not a slave to sin, but you are now living under the perfect law of Christ. When I say law, I'm not saying that we are under the law of sin and death. The Bible talks of two different laws. It's not just the law of sin and death, right? But it's also the law of life through Jesus again. That's what the Bible says, right? And I'll put the verse there because it wasn't on my notes. So I don't want to make this long, my friends. This is hopefully a short message, right? I don't even know how much time I've been going. But just to share with you that God is good. God is so good that he gave us Jesus, who is an unblemished sacrifice. Why did he give us Jesus? Because in our own strength, even with our bestest efforts, we would have never been righteous enough. We would have never been holy enough. We would have never been good enough. Even with our bestest efforts, on the bestest of days, we would have never, ever been enough without Jesus. So he comes, he gives us Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Through his blood, we are sanctified. Red blood, yet it creates white garments. Hey, I love God's way of doing things. It just doesn't make sense to the logical mind, right? His blood clothes me. His blood washes me. And now when Jesus looks at me, right? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this. You know, if I go to the DNA right now, how do people know that I'm my father's daughter? How do people really know that I'm my mother's child? It's through the blood. It's through the blood. They would take my blood. They don't seem, let's look at her features. Yes, she does have those eyes or those eyebrows that look like her father. Let's look at her, the inner of her hand. Yes, she has those ridges. She's definitely her father's child. They don't do that. They say it's all in the blood. Doesn't matter that you are skinny, light-skinned, and your dad is tall, strong, big. Let's see the blood. Let's see the blood. And only when they test the blood and then they say there's a 99.99% that this is her father. Whether they look alike or not, who cares? It doesn't matter. The blood speaks. The blood speaks. So when the blood of Jesus speaks, that's the authority that it has, my friends. Where now, when I'm looked at by God, he sees me as Jesus. This is Jesus's product. This is Jesus's offspring. This is Jesus's. This is like my son. This is my son because of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. So it's all about Jesus. It is all through Jesus. But let me tell you something. When blood is taken, my physical blood is taken, and then they can see that, oh yeah, this is definitely her father's daughter, right? There are things that are blood-based. Let's not even talk spiritual bloodlines here. We're talking biology, right? There are things that are blood-based, right? If there was a certain disease or something in my father's blood, they might start to say, oh, you know, there's this because of what is in her father. You understand? So that's the same thing with when you're in Jesus. The blood of Jesus now makes you desire what Jesus desires. What is in his blood? Righteousness. What is in his blood? The peace of God, the love of God, intimacy with his fathers. Now I have it in me too. So when you are in Jesus and his blood now speaks concerning you, obedience comes, righteousness comes. The finished full story is that when the blood is on you, sanctification is part of it. And not because you are good. You don't sanctify yourself. You don't wash yourself clean. You don't do that. Right? Lest any man should boast. Jesus does that through his Holy Spirit, his teacher. You go to his eloquency classes. Right? Your job is to, like a lamb, follow. Your job is like a sheep, follow. Right? That's your job, to follow. If you're in him, you follow. If the umbrella was Jesus and it's raining, listen, being in him means you're following where he goes. But you don't keep standing there and the rain is chucking you and the umbrella of Jesus is here and you keep saying you're in Jesus. No. Being in Jesus means that something changes. So don't take from my message that it doesn't matter what you do, do whatever. No. Sin is still a big deal to Jesus. Still is a big deal to God, because that's not in Jesus. Sin is not in Jesus. And so if I'm in Jesus, sin has no room. But not because of my own strength, lest any man should boast. Because of Jesus. So I'm going to finish it here, my friends. And I think this is an amazing follow-up to last week's message where I spoke on why it is so difficult to obey. And I spoke about trust. Now, God is amazing. I come back with an even better message to say, we struggle with obedience? Yes, because we don't trust. We need more trust? Yes. Guess who can teach you to trust? Jesus. Because he had to trust his father, even to the cross, even to the point of going through the pain, when his physical body was like, God, if there's another way, Lord, let this cup pass me by. But he still went. He endured the cross because he trusted his father. Does that make sense? So if you're struggling with obedience, you're struggling with trust, go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. Because not only do you say that you desire for me to trust the Father, but you also are the one with the manual. You're also the one who can make it happen. So when it goes good, you can kneel down anywhere. My mom used to do this thing where she would kneel down literally anywhere. There was a time in our lives where even finding £5 to survive a week was a miracle, because we were in dire need. My mom would kneel down and thank God for like amounts I can't even tell you. On the floor, wherever she is, she once knelt down in the street. I think she had picked up some money or something. May God help us that, you know what? We get to a point where we don't become so familiar with God doing things that are good for us. And we think it's because We were good. We were deserving. We fasted. We prayed. And missed the fact that, oh, it is just Jesus. It is Jesus. God hears because of Jesus. So it has really helped me because it also exposed pride that needed to go. Hidden pride, where you start to think, oh my gosh, oh, I'm so grateful people did things, you know, what will I do to give them back? No. When you know it's all about Jesus and it's only Jesus, the enemy cannot plant seeds of hidden pride. There are many people who are walking proudful without even realizing that the enemy has got an open door pride in their lives because they are proudful about religious things. Yeah, I fast every week. Yeah, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and, you know, I pray for 5 hours. My stamina of praying is great. Don't get me wrong, those things are good. And I encourage them. And listen, I'm also thankful because I'm pushing to get to another dimension in prayer. And I was so proud and grateful, right? When I was like, oh my God, I went 5 hours, I went 2 hours, I went 4 hours or whatever praying. But I'm so grateful that God is teaching me that. As you are growing in me, don't let the enemy steal from you. Depend on Jesus. Always rest in Jesus. And know God answers prayer, not because of your own self-righteousness, but because of Jesus. So friends, I'm going to finish it here. And if you are somebody who is not a Christian, maybe you continued listening to this message because something around me attracted you, I say it's the Holy Spirit of God, because he's the one who convicts us of righteousness, of the sin in our lives, and shows us how everything we do is like filthy rags, and it is only Jesus. Listen, you want this Jesus. This is Jesus who not only makes all things happen, but even when things are going bad, he gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. Being a Christian is not all about food and drink and people saying, oh, come to Christ, everything is going to be wonderful. No, what happens is, listen, you know, good things, bad things, yes, happen, because that's the nature of life. But when you're in Jesus, listen, you will go through it and not even look like the smoke or smell like the smoke that your circumstances might have even made anyone who's not in Christ smell. Anyway, let me stop rambling on. What I'm trying to say is, it's receiving him as Lord and personal savior of your life to say, now I want my DNA, my blood to be that of Jesus, so that when I pray, God sees Jesus, God hears Jesus, and does, because listen, the name of Jesus is a name that is greater than any other name. So I want to help you by starting the process where we pray and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And after that, I'm going to put my email on the screen and ask you to contact me, because coming January, I'm going to be doing a disciple class, because yes, it's all well and good, you know, receiving Christ, but the most important thing is then to know, how do I walk with him? How do I stay in him when the life when life is happening and it feels like I want to come out of the umbrella of Jesus and do my own thing? How do I start to rest in him? How do I start to depend on him? How do I start to pray because I want to be intimate with the Father? Not because I'm just praying because I want things. Those are all the lessons we're going to cover on the discipleship class, and it's going to be online. It's going to be in December. So you please, I'm asking you to email me if you've prayed this prayer and you want to grow in God together with others. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you that you gave him who was without sin to carry my sin, so that when I pray, so that when I am seen, when I approach you, God, you see me through Jesus. Today, I let go of a life of sin. Today, I let go of making myself Lord over my own life, and I make a decision to receive Jesus as the start of my life, as the owner of my life, as everything, is my savior, right? The beginning, the end, middle, the everything of my life. Lord Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life. I turn away from all my sins. I repent, and I choose from this day forward to move with you, to be yours. And I pray that your Holy Spirit comes on me and teaches me to live a life of someone who is no longer a slave to sin, but alive in Christ. I receive you, and I begin this journey today in Jesus' precious name. Listen, friends, if you pray this prayer, my email is now on the screen. Do contact me, and I will be contacting you back to make sure that you are informed when I start the discipleship classes in January. May God bless you. May God keep you. Until next time, my friends, take care of yourselves. And just to also tell you, if you are someone who is maybe not in the UK, who wants to see what's going to happen at this prayer, praise and high tea event, listen, I'm believing God that we're going to be live streaming it here on YouTube and potentially also on TikTok. So yes, on Saturday the 9th of December at 12 p.m. UK time, you will see the manifestation of God's promise. You can stroll back in the videos and you'll see when I first introduced this mission that God had given me. There's a 15-minute video when I talk about it. Listen, you can watch it first and then see the evidence of God's faithfulness on Saturday the 9th. I'm so excited to also be a spectator of what God is going to do. I'm also excited to just be a steward of God's mission as His Son Jesus alone is glorified. The work was done by Jesus, so the glory will go right back to Jesus, and we will, my friends, it's going to be amazing. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported, who has prayed for me, who's prayed for the event, even those that are not attending. So I'm just so grateful, my friends, for us to be completely sold out. It is just the doing of the Lord. So until next time, may God keep you. May God bless you. May His face shine upon you. And my friends, see you soon. Bye.